Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse me, beloved, excuse me. But good morning to each and every one of you. I thank God for another day to spend with you. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I'm the pastor of New Vision for Life Ministry, and I do thank God for the ministry, for the people in the ministry. I just praise him for the assignment that he has me on at this present time. And, of course, I'd like to say good morning to my beloved co-host. I'm telling you, she's a do-or-die girl, do-or-die. You want her to be your ride, what is it, oh, Lord Jesus. What is the terminology?
Ride or die.
Yep. Nature. This is the woman that you want to have with you. And because she has that type of personality and that type of love, that would also answer for why she and I both only have a very limited number of friends. Because we are the type of friends that will stick with you to the end. And we would not attach that to everybody who calls us friends or everybody who wants to be associated with us. But I'm telling you, she is one of those people that you always want to have in your corner. So good morning to my beloved co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning, beautiful. Good morning. What a beautiful day. I don't care what it looks like outside. Today is beautiful because we are alive. Our eyes are open, and we are able to speak. To God be the glory for that. I think my throat is doing something because the weather is changing. I don't know what's going on, but it's like I'm coughing more than, I don't know what's going on because I normally don't get sick, but this whole week
sinuses probably
just everything. So I apologize if I'm coughing more often while talking. I'm just going to put that out there in advance. So please forgive me.
Oh well, you're forgiven, and I'm asking everyone to do the same for me because I'm coughing. You know, the nose, post nasal drip, and all of that good stuff. And so it's one of those things. But, again, it is a powerful, awesome day in the Lord, a powerful, awesome day in the Lord.
Yeah.
And, yes, and in fact, also, I know last week we played a promo for On the Mission conference with Elder West and Apostle West. And it was running from Thursday until today. And I am telling you, thanks to God, the conference is absolutely powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. One of the longest times that we have spent in service. We were in service until almost 1:30 this morning. All of it was via virtual. It was all virtual. But it was powerful. It was anointed. The prophetic words that came forth were life-giving. I'm telling you, I feel sorry for those of you that missed out on it. The speakers were fantastic, and it was awesome. It was really good. It was really good. Okay. Lord have mercy. Beloved, would you be so kind? I know I didn't do roll call yet, but would you please be so kind to go ahead and open us up in prayer, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord
you,
God. Thank you.
Bless
thank you.
Bless
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
oh, God,
yes,
we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. We just thank you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God. We, Father, we
thank
you,
you
because
Jesus.
There is
thank
none
you,
like
Jesus.
You, Lord God. There is
thank
none
you,
like
Jesus.
You in all the earth, Lord God. No matter what we are facing right now, there is none like you. There is no one that can
Jesus.
Touch our hearts like you do, Lord God. There is no one that can answer prayer like you do. There is no one that can heal us like you do, oh God. There is no one that can deliver us like you do, Father. We bless you, Lord. There is no one that can provide for us the way that you do. There is no one that can listen to us the way that you do, oh God. There is no one that can comfort us the way that you do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no one that can prepare the way for us, oh God, like you do. There is no one, oh God, that can change our situations around like you do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no one that can minister to us the way that you do, oh Lord God. There is no one that can encourage us the way that you do, Father. Hallelujah, oh God. There is no one, there is no one, there is no one that can love us as much as you do, Lord. There is no one that can forgive us as much as you do, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We just bless you, Father, and we thank you, but there is none like you, Lord God.
Like
there is
you.
None,
hallelujah.
There is none, there is none. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah,
yes.
Hallelujah, God.
Jesus.
We just thank you, oh God, because your promises are yes and amen. We thank you, oh God, for you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, because you are the only true. You are the only true God, and your promises can never return into you void. So, God, right now we just say thank you, oh, God. Even if we don't see it, oh, God, we say thank you, God. Even if we don't feel it, we say thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
even if we don't understand it, oh, God, we say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Even
thank
if we don't
Jesus.
Agree with it, oh, God, we say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. There is none like you, oh God. And so, Father, we just pray that you touch your people on today, oh God, whatever it is that may be burdening them, whatever it is that is heavy on their hearts, God, whatever it is, God. And it may not even be nothing heavy, oh God. They may be in a good, joyful place right now. God, I just pray that they stay in that joyful place, God. Those that are facing something that is hard, Father, I ask that you touch them right now, Lord God, and let your peace just flow through their body even now, oh God, to let them know that you are with them. Let them know that you see them. Let them know that you hear them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you haven't forgotten about them. And also, oh God, when you touch them, Lord, I pray that they would just be obedient to what it is that you're showing them and telling them to do in the name of Jesus, God. Even if it's uncomfortable, hallelujah, God, because we have a tendency, hallelujah, to turn away from when things are uncomfortable that you're telling us to do, but it's really for our good. And so, Father God, we just say, Lord, help us when it comes to doing things that you have told us to do that we don't feel comfortable with, that we don't understand, that we may be afraid that somebody may be upset with us, oh God, or Lord, that a decision that has to be made, but we're trying to figure out how it's going to happen, what it means for us, oh God, if only we would just be obedient and listen and follow you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that our lives would not be as hard, Lord God, as hard as it seems right now, because obedience comes with reward. And so, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your peace, your grace, your mercy, your joy. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, oh God, for your love. Hallelujah. We can't thank you enough for your love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Lord, just have your way in the lives of those that are listening, those that will come back to the show to listen, oh God. those of our callers on here that will share this message with others, oh God. Let them be blessed, oh God. Let them be blessed. Let them feel your presence, hallelujah, on heart to heart right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God. But we know that we can do nothing without you, God. We are powerless. Hallelujah. We can't walk in the spirit without the spirit. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God. And so, Father, hallelujah, just rain down on us right now, oh God. Rain down on us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Rain down on us, oh God. Rain down on us, Lord. Wash away, Lord God, all of that stuff, Lord God, all of that dirt, Lord God, all of that hurt, in the name of Jesus, oh God, wash it away even now, God. Let it just run down the drain as when it rains real hard, and we see how the rain just pushes all the leaves and the dirt and everything else down the drain, down the sewer, oh God. Let that stuff that's on us just run off of us. Just like that, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you and we bless you, oh God, and we look forward, oh God, to the life that you have promised us, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We look forward, oh God, to being who you have called us to be, even if we don't want to do it, oh God. Even if we don't want to do it, God, we look forward to being who you called us to be. It may not align with how we saw our lives, oh God, but we must learn that whatever it is that you have called us to do, whatever it is that you have told us to do, we have to get into a place where we truly trust you in that, Father God, hallelujah, and walk it out, and walk it out and live a life full of reward, full, Lord God, of your presence, oh God. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord God, set your people on fire even now. Set your people on fire, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Not a literal fire, oh God, but a spiritual fire in the name of Jesus, oh God. Set them on fire for you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That when they wake, they will praise you, oh God. When they're in the shower, they will praise you, oh God. When they're at work, they will praise you, oh God. When they're in the store, they will praise you, oh God. When they meet others, Lord God, we will praise you. Hallelujah. Not just they, but we will praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Lord God, so we thank you right now, oh God, that you're changing the lives and the hearts of your people even now, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Those that have been on the wall praying for something specific for years, God, Lord, let them continue to pray until you give them the answer in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, and I pray that we would go back before you and ask you, was there anything that you told us to do that we ignored or we thought didn't come from you or that we was uncomfortable with? Lord God, let us go back. Hallelujah, God, and show us the things you show us, oh God, the things that we walked away from that were of you, that were from you, God. The things, Lord God, that we ignored, oh God, that we ignored intentionally because we didn't want to hear it or do it in the name of Jesus, oh God. And I ask, God, that you forgive us even now, Father God. I ask, Father God, that you forgive us even now, God, as we repent, God, and turn away from being disobedient in the name of Jesus, oh God. We turn away from disobedience, God. We turn away from wanting to do things our way in the name of Jesus, God, and we turn away from those things that make our flesh feel good in the name of Jesus, God. We turn away. It's time to grow. It's time to mature, and it's time to live in the promises that you have already given us. And so, Father God, we just thank you even now. God, we bless your holy name, oh God, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, God, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Jesus. Father, have your way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah,
Lord
God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, Lord God, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, for the prayers that have gone forth. I touch and agree in the name of Jesus. I pray a covering over my daughter, Lord God. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come nigh her, her dwellings, or her family, Lord God. No backlash, no revenge, no retaliation shall overtake her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for blessing her as she has prayed prophetically, Lord God, before our audience today, Lord God. May your words, Father, take root. May the prayers, oh God, bring hope. Lord God, may the obedience bring the reward. Let it be done, Father, that you are glorified in the name of Jesus, that you are glorified. I thank you and I honor you. I magnify your holy name in Jesus Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen,
yes, ma'am. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to Tamika. God bless you, woman of God, and a daughter in the spirit. God bless you. God bless you, Lester and Joyce Richardson. Joyce in New York, God bless you. God bless you, Anita Hall Nelson, blessing you. God bless Prophetess Kim. God bless Deacon Banks. God bless Isaiah in Chicago and Isaiah in Pennsylvania. God bless Robin, Pennsylvania as well. God bless all the members from New Vision for Life that have joined us this morning. God bless you all. And may each prayer, each part of that prayer that pertains to you, please take it, hold on to it, hold on to it, and know that God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. God has anointed this woman of God to be an intercessor and to pray, and praying even prophetically, hearing from the voice of God. She doesn't just pray because she prays. She starts out with a prayer, whatever it is that's on her heart, and then Holy Spirit steps in. And the prayer becomes a prophetic prayer where we pray in the mind of Christ. What is it God wants her to pray about? What is it that God is, that is on God's heart? This is why this is heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. What's on your heart? What's on God's heart? Let's get to the heart of the matter. And we thank you once again for being here with us on this awesome Sabbath day. We thank you. Now, today we are going to be dealing with what could be a touchy subject for some and yet very hopeful for others. And the title of our conversation is Hope for Parents of Prodigal Children. Hope for Parents of Prodigal Children. And this is coming from Focus on the Family, Jim Dobson and his crew. They have their own, of course, a ministry family radio show. And I've been knowing and experience and living with and sharing his information for my gosh, longer than I can tell you, longer than I can tell you that that we have dealt with Minister Dobson, excuse me, and a lot of the marriage information that you have comes from their ministry. This is focused on the family, so it's, he always is doing family stuff, marriage, children, and so forth. So we're going to take the minutes that we have left and deal with the focusing again on hope for the parents of prodigal children. Hope for the parents of prodigal children. Oh, Lordy God. And some of you, you know, may have experienced the loss of a prodigal son or daughter who probably, not probably, yeah, they're not in touch with you currently, and you feel hopeless about it. I know I would. If my son or daughter were to go off on their own, and normally when we have children that are prodigal, it's them going off, and it's, there's discord at the moment that they're going off. And it's a hard thing, and when it lasts for a season, it's very difficult for the parents, very, very difficult. I'm going to ask Tabika if you would define for our audience what a prodigal child is. If you could define that for us, that'll give us a good place to start. Thank you.
Amen. So the Merriam-Webster definition of a prodigal child is a son or daughter who leaves his or her parents to do things that they do not approve of, but then feels sorry and returns home. And so I want to quickly read Luke 15:11-32, because this is the original story of the prodigal son, for those that may not be familiar with it. So it's Luke 15:11-32, and this is the ESV version. And it says, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him? And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And so that is where the original prodigal child came from. And so when we think about what just took place, what I read in Luke 15:11-32, this father was so happy to have his child back, because you know, it was no cell phones back then. He had no way of knowing if his son was still alive or if he was okay or if a animal got to him and, you know, and killed him. The father didn't know. And so I'm sure the whole time his son was away, he was really worried or concerned about what was going on with him. And so when he saw his child coming back, just like most of us that are parents, we are going to celebrate and receive our children back because God does the same thing for us when we backslide, when we turn away from him, when we decide to go in a different direction for whatever reason, mostly because we think we know it all and we think God is not moving fast enough on our behalf. So we decide we're going to go do what we want to do. But when God sees us coming back, God is so excited, and he embraces us, and he covers us. No parent wants to turn their child away after being gone so long, not knowing what was going on with them. You know, your heart basically jumps out of your chest when you see your child return after being gone for so long. It's something that you want to celebrate. You don't want to push the child away, and then at that point you want to take the time to fuss them out and tell them how wrong they are. But just the reaction of the brother, you know, the reaction of the brother and how he felt towards his little brother. Like, I was here the whole time. I served you the whole time. I did everything that you asked me to do. And my brother just went on ahead and did what he wanted to do, and he you know, lived the life that he thought he wanted. And then he comes back, and you celebrate him the whole time I've been here serving you. And a lot of times that's how we look at our own siblings, or that's how we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ. When God begins when God embraces them and celebrates them for coming back, some of us feel the exact same way about God. And so this is some of the situations that we find ourselves in with our children, you know, even in the body of Christ. It is a celebratory time when our brothers and sisters return back into the Father's arms, and when our siblings come home, even our children, when they come home from being gone and us not knowing what was going on with them. Apostle.
Amen. I was having some flashbacks while you were talking, and this was more about my spiritual children and how, I've had several prodigal spiritual children, and that, you know, they ran away from home. They left the teachings and the love and the nurturing, you know, that I was given as a spiritual mother and so forth and so on. And I do remember, oh, my God, I remember the joy that I felt when they came home, the joy that I felt the first time I saw them and how I would grab them and hug them and so forth and so on. And as you were reading the story, I could see, and even though my children didn't say anything, but I could see how their hearts could have been in a place where, Mom, you don't grab us and hug us like that. You know, we've been here with you all the time. We've, you know, been obedient. We've taken care of you and, you know, and this, that, and the other. But you haven't done for us what you're doing for this person who walked out on you, who talked about you, you know, who did this, that, and the other, and who even, one of them even stole from me, you know, after giving them a place to live and so forth and so on, and giving them an allowance on top of it all, and they still stole from me. But they did all of this, and yet you're grabbing them and hugging them and loving on them and welcoming them back, you know, ready to throw a party because they're here, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not something, thanks to God, that just happened or happened in the Bible. This is real life stuff that happens to this very day, to this very day. And most of the time, our prodigal children, they're seeking freedom. They're searching for some significance. They come from being your little cutie son and daughter, you know, your little sweetheart and so forth. And they are growing up now and going from adolescence to teenagehood, teenage to young adult. And there are things that, you know, rules and regulations that you have put in your home that these children may want to experience something different than what your rules are saying. And a lot of times, parents, when our children are prodigal, when they leave us and so forth, we feel like we have failed. We feel like there should have been something that we could have done to make it different, something we should have done. And 9 out of 10 times, folks, there was nothing else you could have done to prevent your son or daughter from straying from the faith, from straying from the family. There was nothing that you could have done. Yet in some cases, there was something that you could have done. We have different parenting styles, different parenting styles. You know, you got the authoritative parent. Then you have the permissive parent. You know, the authoritative one is that's the one that sets down the rules, the regulations. They're very disciplined. You know, you got to know that if you break any rules, there are going to be harsh consequences. These parents have high expectations from their children and so forth and so on. Sometimes they can be overbearing, and yet, you know, all of this is done in love. And the children then began to leave home so they can find the freedom to live and to grow without so many rules put on them and to have to deal with the consequences of those rules. And then you have the permissive parent. That parent shows their love towards their children, praise be unto God, by having very few guidelines. They don't impose many rules at all, and they provide very little structure for them to be successful. And that, again, the permissive parent, normally these parents operate out of guilt, guilt because one parent isn't there, or guilt because or even the fact that they may have been raised in an authoritative home and they hated it, so now they're going to do the exact opposite and let the children run the household. The children set the rules. The parents said, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to eat? What do you think about this, that, and the other? And they give the children the carefree all, basically, to run the house. And then you have those parents who are neglectful in their parenting style. You got teens and young adults who feel unloved, and they are more likely to be bullied in school. They have poor academic performances. And this is because you got parents that were workaholics or could be into drugs and so forth, and the child is neglected. You know, so these are some of the things and the reasons here the type of parenting style that can cause so much conflict in the home. The children of permissive and neglected parents may also have just a few healthy peer relationships, which causes them to launch out on their own, searching for evidence that they are significant. And they're looking for meaningful relationships. So, Minister Garnes, what do you have to say, my love?
Yes, the different parenting styles, I agree, does shape who your child becomes. and how they react to certain things. And even when it comes to adapting to the workplace, basically learning to follow the rules. So if they grew up in a household where there were no rules, we know that this, you know, the older child is not going to follow the rules, or they're going to have a hard time when it comes to working, or when it comes to obeying the law and things of that nature. But there are reasons why, you know, kids may stray. And one of them is to seek growth and maturity. And so, you know, some kids, they want to figure out things on their own. They feel like they've listened to mommy and daddy for so long. They followed mommy and daddy's rules. And, you know, sometimes for us as parents, we just tell our children what to do. And depending on the type of, depending on the personality of your child, some kids always want to know the why. Because they just, that's who they are. They're inquisitive. They want to know the why. And I have one of those. And growing up, I felt like because I was the adult, I didn't have to explain myself to a child because, you know, that is how I grew up. So we tend to use the same things that adults used on us. And so that didn't work. That didn't really work with my child. And I couldn't figure out why, you know, he wanted to always know why and an explanation, because to him, he was trying to figure out how this made sense to him and how it applied to him. And so, you know, teens and young adults, they stray because sometimes it's for personal growth and their own maturity, and it's completely normal and healthy. And so, you know, there were times when I overreacted because of the different points of view that my son had. Even when it comes to, when it came to different religions and different ways he thought about things and political stuff, and I'm like, you know, it's basically for him. He wants you to show him. He wants you to show him how this makes sense. And for me, I became like agitated and like bent out all out of shape because I couldn't understand why he just wouldn't just, if I say this is Christianity and this is what you're going to do and blah blah blah, and I couldn't understand why he just couldn't get it and just fall into place. And we got to remember that all of our, you know, our children are different. Whether you only have one child or multiple kids, they, all of them are not going to react the same way. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to follow everything that you say. Some of them going to be, have questions all the time. And although it may get on our nerves, we have to learn the different personality types for our children, because sometimes we may make a mistake and try to raise all our kids the same way, and we can't. And so, you know, even though my child is grown and he has a child, and he has bonus children, you know, he's will be getting married soon, and it's like he still is I need to know why. I need you to show me. Even when he comes to me and he talks about different things when it comes to Christianity and different things, and I'm sitting here and I'm trying to tell him, no, son, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. You know, everything is about God, and you can't follow this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. And you know, just reading what it said about seeking growth and maturity, I just had an aha moment, because I think that sometimes he plays on what is it that he wants to see a certain reaction from me, And I still fall into the trap of him trying to get a reaction from me, and he really don't mean what he's saying. He's just trying to get a reaction from me because it's funny to him. And so I still haven't learned that yet, and he still gets me. But at the same time, I have to learn how to, I have to learn how to back up, listen to what it is that he's saying, let him talk to me about what he is feeling, about his faith and beliefs, you know, his identity and all of that stuff, and just listen and hear out what he is saying. And even when he was growing up, I had this thing that I did not listen to what it is that he was trying to tell me. I was always on a defensive because, you know, of his behavior. I was always on a defensive. So every time when he tried to tell me something, it was basically like in my head, I already had the fact that he was guilty. And, and growing up, and now that he's an adult, he tells me now, like, Ma, it wasn't me all the time. It wasn't me all the time. And I tried to tell you, I tried to talk to you, but you did not listen. You did not listen to me. And so, you know, us as adults, we make mistakes because our children don't come with training manuals. We go off with how we were raised. But we have to remember that it's not basically explaining to your child or giving your child an explanation of every time you tell them to do something. But if you know that's your child's personality type, then you've got to take some time with that and don't feel like I'm the adult and you're the child and you're going to do what I say. And because sometimes that hurts our children more than we think. Apostle.
Amen. 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 Thanks to God while we're holding this discussion. Remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And if at any moment you would like to chime in, please press 1 on your phone, and that will let us know that you have something to say. Also, please remember that all of our shows are recorded, so you may go back into the archives and pull the show up again and listen to it again for yourself, get information to share with someone else, pull the information up, and have your friend, family member, whatever the case may be, to be on the line where they can hear the program for themselves. We encourage you to share and always know that this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Baby girl, I do thank you so much for being so transparent. Again, as you were talking, you know, I was walking through, you know, some of what you were saying, you know, because as your pastor, you know, you came to me with some of those concerns and so forth. And I do remember the nights we had to cry over these things, you know, and definitely praying over them. And learning the personality of your children, that too is so very important. You know, her son being, you got to show me, you got to prove to me, you know, that this makes sense. He came from a logical point of view, not moved by emotions about this thing. You got to give me the black and white on what it is and so forth. And so those of us that have studied the motivational gifts and so forth and so on, we can see that that is one of the signs of the perceiver. He doesn't want you talking to him about, you know, through the emotions of things. Show me the logic of things. Show me how it makes sense. And then, you know, you'll have the child, you know, that is moved by a story like the prodigal son, moved by that story. And the emotions, as you heard me saying, when I saw one of my prodigal sons after, you know, leaving the faith, leaving home, et cetera, you know, I'm grabbing and hugging him and forth, the nurturing, the and so forth. And then we could sit down and talk about the things that were happening, that had happened. So I was dealing with the emotions, the feelings of it, and here over here, we're dealing with the logic of it. You know,
logically, someone that's dealing with the logic, the black and white, the obedience and the disobedience, would have said that when that prodigal son came home, no way should a party have been had. No way should he have been treated, you know, the way he was treated and so forth and so. In fact, now that I think about it, you should have punished him. You should have put him in the dungeon and have him scrubbing the floors here in the palace, you know, have him working with the servants here in the palace, because he totally dishonored father. He totally dishonored him. And dishonoring your parent could have been a thing that it the penalty of death could have been, you know, the penalty for doing that. So we have people with different personalities approaching the exact same circumstance, totally, totally different, totally different. To God be the glory. And as Tabika was saying, dealing with the growth and the maturity, again, you know, I think I had mentioned about how children are seeking freedom. They want to feel significant in their parents' life. And beloved, let me tell you, for all of you parents that had to deal with this type of thing, for all of you that had to deal with this type of thing, when that prodigal child comes home, it doesn't matter what parenting style you had. When they come home, this is an amazing, amazing opportunity for you to be part of the solution of their return and the possibility of them staying. And it's not always them staying in your house. This staying part is staying in a loving relationship with you if they're not going to be living with you, but to restore that healthy and loving relationship. Be the first one to show empathy, you know, like, son, daughter, listen, I miss you. I love you. I know or believe that I had some responsibility and what happened between us. Can we sit down and talk about this? Can we really talk? I'm ready to listen to what, and I'm asking you to do the same thing, to listen from where I was coming from when I dealt with you in the manner that I dealt with you. And one of the things you have to remember now, that in holding these types of conversations, that you are no longer holding a conversation parent with a child. What you got to look at right now is these are two adults trying to work together to reconcile, trying to work together to reconcile. And yes, you are the parent. No matter how old your child gets, you are the parent. But there comes a time that we have to acknowledge that our children are adults. They need to be treated as adults. Excuse me. They need to be treated as an adult, and we need to sit and hear what they have to say and respect their feelings. We have to respect their feelings. And so that is something, again, that is important for you to understand. The child returning home is a great opportunity for healing and reconciliation, for healing and reconciliation. Now, listen, sometimes that healing and reconciliation, to get to that point, that's going to take more than just you two holding a conversation. There may be things that you're going to have to do after holding that conversation. Some children leave home, you know, because they're coping with a trauma. The home itself has been a painful place for them to be. There's molestation that goes on in the homes, and sometimes the child doesn't tell the parent, or if they do tell the parent didn't believe it, and, you know, the child feels thrown away, neglected, and so forth. Their children children in homes where drugs and alcohol is very prevalent, and trying to deal with that. Children raised in homes where they're abusive parents, with domestic violence, the father beating up the mother trying to shield the children end up getting beat, and so forth and so on. There are homes where parents are trying to raise, or parents even with mental health are trying to, mental health disorders, are trying to raise children that also have mental health disorders. And there's a lot of trauma that's in the home. And so when this child leaves home, you know, a parent may not welcome them back because they were unable to handle their behavior. I've seen cases where the child is the one, and this is teenager, young adult, is the one that's on the drugs, not the parents. The parents could be God-fearing folks going to church, got jobs and so forth and so on, and the child ends up stealing from them or listen. If it's a daughter, knowing how to manipulate and twist her father around her finger to get whatever it is she wants from him. If it's the son, he knows how to pull on the nurturing heartstrings of the mother. And, you know, daddy put him out the front door. Mama's at the back door with the basket of food and with some money that, you know, she's giving him. You know, these are the type of things that are going on. Dealing with our children that may have drug issues, all kinds of things, you know, that they're going through personally. And, as they're approaching these things or as they're dealing with these things, when they do come back home, there's so much healing that has to be done. Counseling may have to be done. You know, psychologists, psychiatrists, pastors. I suggest that when you're dealing with counseling in any of the situations like this, that you do the counseling both in the natural with psychiatrists and psychologists, as well as with spiritual and Christian counselors. You want to be able to balance the both of them. You want to be, and also a physical doctor. There are times that there are things that are hormonally wrong that is causing a reaction. Things could physically be wrong in the brain that triggers something, and therefore you're not able to cope and respond with things in the manner that is considered, air quote, normal, or this is the natural way to handle it. So there's more to just talking these things out. Once we talk it out, where the whole idea of the talk is to come up with some solutions on how do we deal with this? What do we do? How do we bring healing and reconciliation family? So that is something, you know, that you definitely want. These children will disengage because they had to cope with trauma. They had to cope with trauma. And so these are some things that you have to look at when they come back. Are you able to talk with them? Beloved, you can go on, sweetheart.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to go back to when you were talking about when you were talking about basically the prodigal child being punished for mm-hmm. what they did. And I just mm-hmm. wanted to say that he was already punished being out there. So mm-hmm. that was his consequence. His consequence he received while being out there. And that's why he had to come back home, because he was, you know, he wasn't eating. He was getting, you know, he wasn't being taken care of out there. He was, you know, thinking about eating with the pigs. He wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. Like, so he suffered out there once. He wasted the money or whatever it was that his father had given him. And so mm-hmm. he received his punishment out there. He was beat up out there. And so that's why he needed to be celebrated coming back home. Because it's nothing like, and we know our children make, decisions that we don't totally agree with. They say things that hurt our feelings at times. We know that. But when our children come back, we have to show them love. And while showing them love, we set those boundaries, as well. And because we have children that, are entitled. Some of us have children that feel like they are entitled, and some of that is narcissism. And so we just have to be careful about how much we do for our children. When they're little kids and they can't do for themselves, yes, we ought to give our children the necessary things they need to survive and live. When they become young adults, we set boundaries at all areas of their lives. When they become young adults and they think that they know everything and you can't tell them anything and they feel like, you know, no matter what you say, they just want to do what it is that they want to do, now that's where the tough love kicks in. How do you still love them and you give them what it is that they need, but you have to be careful in when it comes to the things that they want, giving them the things that they want that they don't deserve. and so sometimes our kids look at us as we are supposed to do certain things. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to give them what they want. We are supposed to buy $1,000 pair of tennis shoes. We are supposed to buy gaming consoles every time they come out. That's $500 and $600 a pop. And so when you feed into that stuff, this is where entitlement comes in. So now you've set them up to feel like they receive stuff even when they don't earn it, even when they don't deserve it. And so we have to be careful about fulfilling their desires, and being there, like always making a way out for them instead of allowing them to try to figure it out and come to you about it. Sometimes we have a habit of trying to fix it for them. And so every time we see an issue arrive, we're trying to fix it for them, which is not teaching them how to it's not teaching them how to be successful or how to be accountable or how to be responsible for things, because they know that mommy and daddy or even us grandparents, they know that we're going to fix it. And so For some, they just do stuff and they're like, "Oh, mommy's gonna fix it. My mother will. I bust somebody's window. My mother'll pay for it. I said something in school, and you know, I manipulated my people so much that when they come to the school and my teacher tell them one thing, all I gotta say is, oh, my teacher is a liar, blah blah blah, and they believe me. So we gotta be careful with stuff like that. We got to be careful of always being the answer to, being the answer or solution to their issues, because they'll always feel like I can do what I want and my parents and my grandparents or whomever are going to get me out of the situation. And that's not a good place for our children to be in.
Amen. And speaking on the, the child that always feels that mom and dad will take care of it. And this goes into our adulthood. You know, we have adult children who will get in trouble with the police, with family, other family members, whatever the case may be, and they believe their parents will solve it and take care of everything, that they will take care of everything. And while we as parents, when our children, do come home seeking forgiveness and so forth, we as parents have to stop at the point of solving their problems for them, And this is hard to do, especially when you're dealing with children
with alcohol or what's the other word, drug abuse, this could be very difficult. We're trying to figure out a way how to get everything handled. The son or the daughter may express remorse, and I want y'all to hear this. They may express remorse, but true repentance requires a desire to change. It requires that. In any relationship that you have, any relationship, people that are always saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. They're saying, I'm sorry, and there's nothing to back that action up. There is no repentance. They have no desire to change. They want you to accept the fact that this is them and that's it, and you're going to have to deal with that. That is not repentance. And when it comes to us dealing with our children, if we jump too quickly to rescue them, they will likely interfere with them gaining full knowledge or them acknowledging their failures, and therefore there's nothing that will motivate them to actually change because they don't acknowledge really where they are wrong. They don't acknowledge that a change has to be made. And again, remember, they can say I'm sorry and express remorse, but if the repentance isn't there, you're dealing with a situation that is not going to be settled or not going to be healed, not going to come out the way that it should come out because of the fact that a person is being dishonest and trying to reconcile. They're being dishonest. Beloved, we're going to stop here. We've come to the end of our time. There's a little more that we have to go on this particular topic. And the author of this topic is Joanne DeBrito. And again, this is from Focus on the Family. And we do thank God, you know, for the teachings and the lessons that we get from them. I hope that it's helping you with what we share today, and that you may be able to share some of this with someone else. Go online, you know, and if you need to. But there's help out there, parents of prodigal children. There is help, and most of all, there is hope. And we send you our love, our prayers, that you will be able to reconcile with your family, with your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye to you today. Love, goodbye to you, sweetheart. Have a blessed day.
See you later.
God bless you all.
You too. God bless.
Okay, honey. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.